high school.
Okay.
I did do some writing, sent some stuff off, and of course I got rejection slips back because my life experience was about that big at that point. So it's just kind of part of who I am. And then later on, it's like, you know, especially when I got married, my husband was like, you got to go write. You know, you're getting too antsy. Go write. So that's what I do.
Awesome. Yeah, it sounds like it just kept slowly growing as a thing for you, like little bits, writing in high school and then continuing on. And now we're waiting on the book in a couple months.
Exciting times.
Yeah. So when you were constructing this book and talking about the world you created, constructing the fantasy world using the archetypes as opposed to mythology, whereas a lot of fantasy books will use mythology setup to create their worlds, but you used archetypes.
Well, I started out with, and this appears nowhere in the book, but it's like the deep backstory that you build it on. The original humans who had settled the planet were from a European Space Agency colony ship. Mm-hmm. And so, going to Europe, there's a body of myth, and let's say the people that she winds up with have their roots mostly from Northern Europe, but it's a huge mix. Mm-hmm. So I started out with a mix, and originally I was kind of combining Norse mythology with, you know, the Greek and Roman, classical mythology, if you will. And then two things happen. One, it's like there's all these other wonderful mythology. You know, everybody has their story. And a lot of those tropes are the same all over the world.
Yep.
You know, call it weird, call it fate, call it karma, you know. Mm-hmm. Not that different. And so that happened. And the other thing happened, that Norse mythology was all very well, but there's a certain element of basically white nationalist extremists who think Norse mythology is really cool. And I'm like, no, they don't get to appropriate this. So then, you know, as if I'd ever be famous, but maybe.
We never know. We have 2 months to find out.
Yeah.
And more.
So I went, you know, we're going to shave all the serial numbers off the mythology and just do it. And there's going to be stuff pop up because people are from different cultures. But that's how the mythology got mixed.
I love that. And you almost constructed somewhat of your own, it sounds like.
Kind of, sort of.
Yeah. Awesome. Okay. So we talked about that, and one more big question that we were going to talk about is your back. We kind of already touched on this, but we can dive deep a little bit more. Talking more about your background and Spider's Weird. We talked about your experience with the military.
Yeah.
Is there anything else you'd like to add to that?
Two things. Yeah. In the military, I worked with radar, and then with a lot with fighter pilots when I was a baby lieutenant. Mm-hmm. I was what they called a ground control intercept controller. And basically, the person on the radio in movies who's telling the pilot where the bad guys are.
Okay.
And that was during the Cold War. Technology has marched on. There are still GCI controllers. But somewhere in there, I transferred from that to intelligence support to fighters. And that's where I started working on a daily basis with fighter pilots. Started out in Germany, tail end of the Cold War, and then got out, became a librarian, had kids, you know, married, all that stuff, went to work for the library, and joined the Air Force Reserve. And there's a story behind that, too. But yeah, I joined the reserves, and I was in the F-16 unit out here at Luke for 11 years. And during that time, history being what it is, we deployed several times to Turkey in support of flying over northern Iraq. We deployed to Italy in support of flying over the collection of nations that used to be called Yugoslavia. And we were there for that stuff. And just watching how fighter pilots, who are people, and we love to complain about them and their and acting entitled and all of that, it takes a special kind of ego to get in a little, well, they're not little tiny, but relatively speaking, they are basically a device with a jet on the back and missiles hanging on it, and go wreak havoc all by, you know, sitting by yourself in the, in this tin can in the sky. That takes a certain kind of ego. It's kind of a requirement, which makes them difficult to live with on a daily basis. But what was weird was when we got out into those deployments, you know, at in garrison, at home here in Phoenix, you have to teach us about this kind of missile today. Okay, fine, we're going to yawn, we'll sit here, we'll eat popcorn. You get over there, it's like, where are the missiles? Tell us, you know, suddenly you were their best friend. And that was a really interesting dichotomy.
Okay.
And so I wanted to bake some of that into a character. And also I wanted to make a character who, yeah, it's space opera with a huge side of paranormal activity and fantasy and so forth. And, but I wanted to have, you know, this is not a flat character. This is somebody who does that. And also is a, this is a human being who does that. And how does that mindset apply to another thing? And how does one need to grow when one has a change in what is required?
Awesome. I love that, and I love the talking about the mindset of what they need. And I need, you know, I'm thinking about movies I've seen where you see the pilots and they, you know, they're cocky and they're arrogant seeming, but understanding that, like, that's what they do.
Yeah.
And they have to, like, they're by themselves. They're not in a co-working environment where they can, you know, vent to their friend if something's not going right.
Yeah. Well, they can on the ground, but not in the air.
Yeah. So, talking about some fun author questions now, we're going to shift gears a little bit, and these are easy on the fly. When you're writing, so thinking about when you're writing, you can think of now or back then or whatever combo. What's your favorite beverage while you're writing?
Coffee.
Yay. Black, creamer, sugar.
Black.
Okay.
Although the last cup of the day might be a cafe au lait because there's only that much left in the pot.
So you're just using up whatever you got?
Yeah.
Okay. I love that. Do you like a flavored coffee or just straight. Basic? Sounds okay.
I'm a boomer.
She gets her caffeine and nothing else needed.
It's truck stop coffee.
I love that. And where do you like to write? Like, what's your ideal? I hate saying ideal space because we think of ideal space and some people are like, you know what? I have an ideal space, but it never works. So,
well, I find I like to write now that computers are a thing. At my computer, at a desk, I have, my children are grown up, have children of their own. One of those bedrooms has turned into my office. It's also the guest room, so I don't always get to use it. But computer, chair, desk, I prefer quiet. I'm not one of those people who needs to be in a coffee shop, although I will write in a coffee shop if that's where I need to be. But computer at desk can also be computer at table in my little camper trailer, or computer at a little table I have set up. Sometimes I'll go out to a county park near us and either find a picnic table or just set up with a chair and a little folding table and write out there if I'm getting stale. But mostly it's in my home office at my computer because my body says, okay, you're here now. It's time.
Okay.